as long as that guy has a TV show, my goal is to just take him off the air.
Shut the hell up.
From Washington, D.C., Roland Martin, good morning.
What's happening, Thomas Sibyl? Hope all is well with you.
And say good morning to D-Ray Davis.
D-Ray, what's happening, Doc?
Everything and nothing at the same time. That's how my uncle talk. I don't know what he means. My uncle be saying stuff like that.
Just saying stuff. First off, shout out to University of Delaware. I spoke at their pre-Kwanzaa celebration on Sunday. Certainly had a good time. And Tom,
pre-Kwanzaa.
Yeah, pre-Kwanzaa. Well, you know, because when Kwanzaa comes around, they'll be out of school.
Right.
So they had the pre-Kwanzaa. So we had a great time there. Y'all can check the video out on my Facebook page. And also, Texas A&M. You know that white supremacist I destroyed on TV One?
Yes.
Well, that was a former student invited him to Texas A&M. The university can't stop it because it's a state institution. He's speaking tomorrow. I will be there. So the university is also having a unity rally in Kyle Field. And I'll be one of the speakers. And so I'm coming back home.
To get up in there.
Yeah, just to get up in there. Just to let him know when he walk on Texas A&M campus, he going to see a black Aggie.
Right.
Just to let him know. Real quick, Tom, I got to give a shout out. Yesterday, Jeff Johnson crossed the burning sands, the newest member of the coldest and the boldest fraternity of all, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
I Jeff Johnson?
Yes, that Jeff Johnson.
Y'all let him in, huh?
You know, his father was an Alpha. His father was an Alpha.
Oh, nice.
So he's honorary? Yeah.
No. He actually crossed. He played.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't try that. We don't have honoraries like y'all. All right, then.
Wow. Happy anniversary, by the way.
I saw Tom try to slide that in there. All right, real quick here. Folks, we've been covering the madness in South Carolina. Two trials, of course, taking place. Dylann Roof trial, the federal trial for killing the 9 black folks at Charleston AME. Emmanuel AME. And also the Michael Slager trial, former North Charleston cop who shot and killed Walter Scott. Man, it almost was a mistrial on Friday. Jury is deadlocked 11-1. Joining us right now is Meg Kennard, a reporter for the Associated Press in South Carolina. Meg, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
These trials are taking place across the street from one another.
They are. It is quite a time in Charleston. There's been a whole lot of law enforcement present there in the what they call the four corners of justice, right in the middle of downtown. One side of the street, you have the county courthouse. The other side, you have the federal courthouse. And today, there's going to be activity in both places.
Dylann Roof, okay, all of a sudden, he says, I want to represent myself. Now he sort of wants his defense team back?
There was a motion filed, a handwritten note, actually, filed yesterday by Dylann Roof, who says that, yes, he would like to have his defense lawyers back, but only for what's called the guilt phase of the trial. In the capital case, which this is, there are two parts. The first one is a separate trial where you find the person guilty or not guilty, and the second one is called the penalty phase, where it's up for consideration is either the death penalty or life in prison. Dylann Roof says he wants his lawyers for the first part, but wants to go back to being his own lawyer for the second part if the judge will allow it. There's a hearing today in federal court for pretrial motions. This is one of them, so we expect it'll be discussed.
Okay, folks out there, this is the federal trial. There also will be a state trial.
That's right. These are both death penalty trials, but Dylann Roof still does face state charges of murder in a trial that's expected to happen next year. It's unclear how long this federal proceeding is going to go, but that trial is scheduled to begin technically next month.
How much is the Dylann Roof trial going to cost taxpayers?
That's not a question for me. That's a question for the federal government government for their
How much case. Do you think?
I honestly have no idea. I just report what happened.
Let's deal with Michael Slager. 11-1, deadlocked. And the course, the foreman told the judge, look, give us the weekend. The judge allowed them to go home to rest. They come back today. Explain what happened there.
It's been 6 weeks in court. I'm sure every day has been tense, but Friday was particularly tense. There was a lot of juror activity, a lot of questions. And ultimately, the jury did come out and say there was a note from one juror who said that he could not, with good conscience, approve a guilty verdict. At that same time, there was another note from the foreman saying that pretty much everybody was on the same page except for that one juror. You guys know it's really rare when you're covering these kinds of trials to get any kind of a clue into what the breakdown is of the jury, how many are thinking one way, how many are thinking another, before they actually give you a verdict. But on Friday, it became clear that it was 11 jurors favoring some kind of a verdict against Michael Slager and one juror who is seen as what's called the holdout. But you're right. At the end of the day, the foreman came out and said, you know what, Judge, I think if we have some more time, some more rest, it's been a long day, but let's come back on Monday, and I think we can get this to a verdict. So that's what we're going to be waiting on today.
If they can't come up with a verdict today, he walks? Or will it be another trial?
Well, that's up to county prosecutors, to Solicitor Scarlett Wilson. But if they can't come up with a verdict, they've already been issued an Allen charge, or what's known as a dynamite charge, which is basically when the jury comes out and says, we're having a hard time coming to a decision, and the judge sends them back in and says, well, I'd like for y'all to try it again. That's already happened. So at this point, if the jury comes out and says they can't agree, the judge will likely declare a mistrial, and then it's up to the solicitor to decide if and when she will like to bring charges again.
That is so frustrating.
Were folks surprised by the 11-1?
I think that there may have been somewhat of a surprise in that. Juror deliberations at that point had been going on for about 16 hours over 3 days. And you know, as you all know, having looked at a lot of trials, sometimes the longer things go on, the more uncertain it can be for, you know, well, are we actually going to get an answer one way or the other in this? But when they came out and said, you know, we're deadlocked right now, but we think we can break that, that came as a surprise to all of us who have been covering this. You know, we'll just see what happens today.
One last question. The breakdown of the jury, what's the racial breakdown of the jury, and is this one holdout black?
There are 11 white members of the jury and one black member. I can't say with any certainty what the racial breakdown is when it comes to that vote, but the foreman of the jury is the one black member.
Oh, there you go.
All righty, folks. But what I understand, that the letter is not from the foreman.
The letter was from a different juror.
All right. Meg Kennard, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Associated Press.
Good job, Meg.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. So frustrating.